you're tuned in to Steve Megatron on Altered Geek.
Hello and welcome to Altered Geek. I'm your host, Steve Megatron Phillips, and joining me this week is someone who hasn't been on the podcast for a while.
I'm taking over.
Yeah, you could not tell who that was just by that voice.
I will talk like this for the rest of the show. I'm taking over.
It's Scary My Cat. he's glaring at the microphone.
I'm taking over.
Yes, it is I, TF2 and Mike. Hello, everybody.
Hello, hello. So, yes, we are going to start our little endeavor tonight into some of our radio broadcasting fans and like things that we listen to and you know, basically what's kind of some of our influences in radio.
I have to preface this by saying Steve and I are 6 years apart in age. He is 6 years younger than me. So even though he is still technically an 80s kid, I don't know. Some of this, at least one thing that I'm going to mention, you may or may not know or remember anything from it.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be some that I'll have not heard of, but I'm sure.
Everybody has heard of this. If you haven't heard of this, like, what kind of Star Trek rock have you been living under?
Are you talking about Casey Kasem?
No. We'll talk about him later. No, everybody knows that guy. But I'm Paul Harvey, and this is the rest of the story. I used to love listening. Like, I'm not a fan of talk radio all that much at all, but Paul Harvey, I could listen to that guy all day long.
Yeah, I think I know who you're talking about, and I think that a few years ago the name wouldn't have really rung any bells, but we had to, in our media class, kind of listen to a lot of TV and radio hosts from like the days of yesteryear. And some of the more prolific voices of those mediums. And so the name sounds familiar to me.
Yes, I will send you a link after the show, because I'm pretty sure, even though you're only just, you know, in your early 30s, you should know, you should remember Paul Harvey. He actually was, I mean, he's passed on at this point, but it's been a number of years since he passed on, I think. But there was something that came out a couple of years ago where he's talking about how people should treat policemen and things like that. It was right all over Facebook. But I just remember listening to the rest of the story from Paul Harvey all the time as a kid. Absolutely loved it.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of people that have left their mark on things, and I don't think that talk radio for the most part, I mean, you have your select people, but like most of it, you don't really have those iconic voices anymore.
No, you don't. Not at all.
And it's kind of sad, but
yeah,
we're kind of in that day and age where everybody's doing it, and so there's it's kind of, you know, the voices are drowned out by a lot of randomness in not only from radio but from the internet.
Yeah, absolutely, because there's now internet radio. Like, that's,
well, you have you have SiriusXM, you have like other forms of satellite radio, you have internet radio, you have internet radio streams, you have podcasts, you have traditional radio. So I mean, there's all these different mediums now.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't, like, I'll say to somebody, like, somebody will ask me, oh, you work from home, what do you do? I say, well, I podcast. Oh, what's that? And I'll basically say it's kind of like internet radio. It's not exactly, but like for the general populace that might not, like, you know, like my wife's lawyer, like he's probably not going to know what a podcast is. So easiest way to say what it is it's radio on the internet.
See, I define it as a pre-recorded radio show that you can listen to on demand. And then that's kind of like the easiest way to explain it, at least how I see it.
Yeah.
Just in explaining it to people that have no idea what I'm talking about, because I've had to do that with family recently. Like, hey, you know, I podcast. What's that? And so, like, I kind of had to go through that dilemma a little bit. In terms of explaining it to family at our recent family gathering that we had, and I was kind of like, really? They haven't heard of podcasting before? And then I kind of forget that I've been in this bubble for so long that it's just second nature to me at this point.
Right, right. Yeah. What was one of the ones that influenced you as a kid? Or one of the ones that you liked from Michigan or whatever?
What's funny is I didn't really have any that influenced me per se. I did listen to, funny enough, radio, but I don't remember like any iconic voices when I was a kid. I used to record myself into a tape player. And as funny as that is, I would record myself into audio cassettes on my tape deck, and then I would play it back, you know, as if I were a radio, you know, disc jockey or, so it was kind of entertaining to me to do that because I do that now only right. on a much grander scale, for more than an audience of one.
Yeah, exactly.
But, the funny thing was, is I would do the voices and I do all that kind of stuff, and I would fake sing on some of it, you know, almost as bad as the, you know, depth charge fish pants. I have to resurrect that at some point. That'd be hilarious.
You know what, dude? Honestly, seriously, we're going to insert it right here because I have it.
Who lives in a colony under the sea? Tap charge fish pants. Who wants to kill Rampage for you and for me? Tap charge fish pants. Whose matter ray goodness is misunderstood? Tap charge fish pants. Who sounds like Batman and Clint Eastwood? Tap charge fish pants. Ready? Depth charge fish pants. Excellent. Yes.
So, as you've heard, depth charge fish pants. That was a funny endeavor written by Michael Wilson on The Beast Unleashed. But yeah, we used to do that, and then I remember they used to have this thing, this disc jockey on Banana 101.5 in our local Flint area. I used to win all kinds of stuff on this radio station when I got to be a teenager and an adult. And when I worked at the car lot, I used to call in because that's all I would listen to, because at the time, podcasts weren't really getting as mainstream as they were, and I wasn't recording them myself.
You're right.
And then once I started recording them, I started listening to podcasts and less to radio. Plus, a lot of disc jockeys that were on there got canned, and I just didn't care for the station anymore. But I remember, like, Casey Kasem's, you know, the Top 40 Countdown, and then things like that. But on 101.5, which would not have had that because it was rock, they had this guy called Chili Walker.
Right.
Who I think went on to somewhere in like a bigger market, like New York or something like that. But he had this thing at 5 o'clock called Naked Trivia.
Uh-huh.
Because Banana 101.5 is like basically vulgar. They have a lot of innuendos, like,
innuendos and innuendon'ts. Exactly.
Yeah. And so, yeah, they had a lot of those over the years, you know, especially because their emblem is a banana. So you can imagine where that went. So anyways, they would do the Naked Trivia type thing. They would ask questions about whatever, you know, music, pop culture, movies. And they would, you know, the guy would be like, are you naked? You know, blah, blah, blah. And then ask questions and then, you know, have them, because it was a part of the gag, you know, the
skit. It's basically Michigan's version of Howard Stern, except not to that extreme a point.
Except he was cleaner. And yeah. it was more entertaining, and like you could listen to it with your kids, and not it wouldn't be as bad as like listening to Howard Stern. so yeah, it was entertaining, and so that was one of the things that stuck out to me. And then they had other, you know, DJs that came later that I remember from that station, but and they got more vulgar as time went on. And then I remember listening to Bob and Tom.
Which
can be vulgar. They have clean moments. I haven't listened to that in years, but that's because 101.5 quit carrying them years ago, which is about when I quit listening.
And, that's because it's basically, I forget which one of them left, one of them retired or whatever, but they still call it the Bob and Tom show, even though either Bob or Tom, like the way I advertise, well, not advertise, but the way I, it's the Bob and Tomless show, or it's the Tom and Bobless show, or whatever, because it's only one of them now, and a variety of other people that they had, like, yeah, no.
Well, they had Bob and Tom, and then they had, you know, Chick McGee, and then Christy Lee, or whatever, and then...
Yeah.
So now it's I'm trying to think, yeah, I'm going to look for who's on it now, but, they got Josh Arnold or something on there now. I could be wrong. I don't know, but I used to listen to the thing often, and, I think it's Bob that left or something.
Yeah, Bob that left. Yeah,
yeah. They had him retire, and then he'll fill in occasionally. But they had a lot of funny skits or songs from people who would come on the show, and they were among my favorite like parody music.
Yeah,
when I was a teenager, and I thought they were hilarious, and I still think some of them are hilarious. Like, you know, they had the Mr. Obvious. Thing, you know, they would have like a skit where somebody would be completely oblivious to stuff, you know, like, you know, hi Mr. Obvious, long time listener, first time caller, and then, you know, he would say something really stupid, and then Mr. Obvious would kind of say, hey, I don't think it quite works that way, or
exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there were a lot of fun skits and songs and things that would come up, or impersonators of like presidents or TV show characters, you know, like they would parody Bill Clinton a lot, Jack Bauer, you know, Morgan right. Freeman, and, you know, just Larry King.
Yeah,
I used to listen to it a lot though, and it was fun to me. I mean, they had a lot of, between the skits, they'd have some sports stuff, which I really cared less about, and then news, and then like a comedian bit, but it was fun.
Yeah.
Those are about the extent of my radio stuff, and then I started getting into things like podcasting, and that's when the realm was opened wide.
Right. Yeah. When I started, it was 2007, I think.
Started what?
Listening to podcasts.
Which ones did you start listening to? I mean, I know you listened to Twig to some extent.
Yeah. The very first one, and I've said this for years, very first one I ever listened to, because I thought it was...
Was it Earth 2?
Yeah. I thought it was the... Like, I found World's Finest Podcast. It's done by Michael Sims and James Doe. They have 100. This is where I get my 100. Like, every podcast I do has to last 100 episodes thing, because theirs lasted 100. They went through every single episode of the DC animated universe, even Teen Titans, even though it's not in continuity. All of the cartoons from BTAS, STAS, Batman Beyond, Justice League, Zeta Project, Static Shock, Teen Titans, Justice League Unlimited, all of that. They went through all of it. Like, when I started listening to them, I would listen to the, like, their episodes were 2-3 hours long. I would spend all of that 2 or 3 hours listening to them while doing other things, that kind of stuff. And I just gravitated towards their content and what they were doing. I eventually found TF Wire, eventually found Twig. And obviously, you and I got introduced via Twitter. So there's that.
Yeah, I think we connected through not only Twitter, but This Week in Geek.
Yeah, through Twig, yep. Yep.
Which is crazy. And way back in, 2008? 2007?
Yeah, something like that.
I don't even know when I started Twitter. I'd have to look. I started in 2008, August of 2008. Same time I started All Things Transformers.
There you go.
That's crazy. Started All Things Transformers in August. I start Altered Geek in August. I start Twitter in August.
I had my you can download your Twitter archive thing. I had it somewhere. I don't know where it is now, though.
I should.
I'm sure I can. I'm sure I can get it again. Yeah.
I need to go in there and do that because I think it would be interesting to kind of go back and see what I've tweeted over the years. Did they give you your images when you do that?
I don't think so.
I don't know. I'll look forward to the email where they tell me what I get. Here's the grand prize. So yeah, one of the things that kind of struck me is after I kind of started listening to the podcasting realm, I listened to TF Wire. I listened to I'd kind of gotten into that in 2006 and then started listening and then listened through 2007 where I became a host.
Right.
And by far some of the worst podcasting I've ever done. Most awkward podcast I've ever done because it was my first solo show and
right.
It was terrible. All Things Transformers was infinitely better and even that was terrible. In version 1.0.
Yeah, just go back, folks. You don't even have to go back very far. Go back to the time when I did, when I had us do ATTF, This Is Your Life, because I grabbed clips from ATTF version 1.0. I'm sorry. I feel so sorry for you having to put up with that purple-headed orange cannon. My God.
He sounded like this when he talked down the show.
He sounds so fake. And you can tell how awkward it is between the two of you. It's just so evident. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm not really trying to throw the guy under the bus, but I kind of am at the same time because I sucked when I first started. So, like, the first...
Well, funny enough, you had a lot more confidence and a lot more of a radio persona.
You know why that is?
Because you listened to it?
Dude, I grew up on radio. Okay, so for anyone that doesn't know, anyone that's been listening to the Geekcast Radio Network, Altered Geek, whatever, for the last 9-10 years now almost, anyone that doesn't know, I'm originally from Massachusetts. It doesn't sound it right now because I had been living in Kentucky for so long. I'm now in Chicago, but living in Kentucky for 25 years before that, I was in Massachusetts for all of my young life. If I wasn't so congested and nasally, I could, and I might be able to still now, park the car in Harvard Yard. So I still can do the Boston accent when I want to. It comes out of me when I'm really, really mad, and people have only ever really seen me really, really mad on very rare occasions.
I've heard you in a couple podcast records that didn't quite make the record, but...
No, the cutting room floor immediately.
Yeah, they hit the cutting room floor, but they were downright scary.
Oh, you think it's scary? You think it's scary over podcast, over microphone, over Skype? Just, if you ever see it in person, just run the other way.
I got a tiny glimpse of it at your wedding, no.
Oh, you didn't? Shut up! I'm
throwing pot shots at you.
But point is, I grew up in the suburbs of Boston, Massachusetts, South Shore, Massachusetts, and the radio show back then, it's been going on for, at this point, The long show back then, it was 105.7 WVBF, Boston's 105. They basically play, you know, classic hits. It's kind of like a classic 60s, 70s, 80s rock station kind of a thing. At this point, it's WROR, Boston's classic hits now, I believe. But I listened to them like all the time and just loved everything they did. Because it was just so it was so engaging. It was so this, it was so that. And ever since then, as a kid, I called into them. I wrote into them. Their station at the time, because it was more 80s pop back then than what it is now. Their station at the time carried Delilah After Dark at night. I actually I kid you not, I wish I still had it. Oh, God. I wrote a letter to Delilah when I was 9 or 10.
Wow.
And I got a letter back.
That's crazy.
Because, you know, trying to call into the Delilah After Dark show or Love Someone Tonight with Delilah, whatever it's called now, like, calling into that show is like, it's worse than trying to win radio station tickets. It really, really is, because you never get through. So, yeah, between Lauren and Wally, Delilah, and Casey Kasem, my radio childhood was golden in Massachusetts. When I got here to Kentucky, because it was something my dad and my then stepmother were doing, I started listening to country music for the first time ever. This is why I love a lot of the 90s country stuff, like Reba and Garth and all that kind of stuff. What's so crazy is later in the mid-90s, I would be in a group home kind of placement thing with the stepson of the morning show host on that country station. Also in the 90s here over there in Louisville, Kentucky, I became friends with one of the other morning show hosts on 99.7 DJX, Today's Hit Music. It was Peter B. He was just super funny. He really, really was. Did all kinds of bits and skits and whatever. Hearing him was like, and I would call into him and ask him advice and things like that. And actually, this is so weird. And I know I've mentioned this to you off air. He and I used to talk, and I was 15, 16 at the time, 95, 96. He and I used to talk Melrose Place all the time because I was watching Melrose Place as a teenager. Very, very cool guy. Absolutely awesome. And yeah, I mean, that was kind of like my young adult life and, you know, childhood and all that. And I found Lex and Terry at one point because they ended up in Louisville. They're another syndicated kind of show. They were kind of fun, kind of interesting. When I got back here to Louisville in 2003, I kind of bounced around kind of a thing. I actually, once I found podcasting in 2007, 2008, I kind of stopped listening to completely stopped listening to morning shows until I finally tuned back into 107.7 The Eagle in Louisville and listened to the Carter Mann program. It was him and regular Laura, and it was just so, so funny. Yeah, I mean, I love, and it's one of those things where I've always loved the aspect, like the thought of being in radio. Like, I've never really cared about like what little money that job makes, because that job, like being in radio, you're not, unless you are a Howard Stern, which none of us are, obviously, you're not making a lot of money. Like, you're not making tons. You're doing more work than you're making money at this point. But I just love the atmosphere. I love the thought of it. I just love that whole thing, like just being in the studio. Like, I get to go to several radio station studios in my lifetime and just hang out with morning show people. And it was just so fun.
Yeah, I never got to go hang out with anybody from a radio station ever. And then the few times that I probably could have gone with my class.
You didn't go.
In college. Well, I had to work.
Right.
And because it scheduled this stuff when I had to work, and I'm like, I can't, I already miss enough coming to class. Like, I don't have time. or they went to a television station on a day that I could have, you know, I would have had to been gone extended time. And because of the nature of my old job, I couldn't do that. In the nature of my current job, I couldn't do that either. Cause I kind of have to be ready at all times in case something goes wrong. Like I have to kind of quality control everything. And so it's unfortunate. I mean, I would love to go through, and I kind of did when, cause my current job, when I was down there in Texas, I got to kind of tour the radio and the video studio. And I was kind of in awe of the whole thing. And it was really cool to see. I just wish that, at some point, and it may eventually happen, I get to actually work in a studio recording a show that either gets on actual radio, or on like video of some kind.
Sweet.
That's the end game goal here.
That's awesome, dude.
So that's probably very cool. Won't happen where I'm at, but yeah. even if it's for GCRN, I'm content. But yeah, I mean, it's crazy the amount of like pertaining to radio, like how things have changed over the years. Like I find myself like I keep getting calls from like Sirius XM, for instance, because last year I bought an Equinox. I bought a used Equinox off of somebody, and you know, they transferred all the GM warranties to us. And so in the process of doing so, you know, XM gets all your information. Because you get to sign up for like a 3-month trial of OnStar and blah 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 blah, and so I have the statistics of the vehicle sent to me.
Right.
So like the oil, the engine, the tires, blah blah blah, with that. But I don't pay for anything. It's just a free maintenance like statistics thing that they send you every month. And then it bothers you about OnStar and Sirius XM because they're all kind of close knit buddies, and I was getting a phone call every week for the last month from XM, like, "Hey, we noticed you don't have your radio set up, and would you like to, you know, pay for only this amount? You can get internet radio." And I'm like, I don't mean to be rude about this, but I don't drive. I'm like, I work at home listening to the radio that I work for. I'm like, I don't listen to XM. Nor am I going to pay for XM. And they're like, "But it's a really good blah, 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 you know, deal." And I'm like, I'm not interested. I don't listen to the radio. And then they did it again to me, like, for... it got more frequent. So instead of, like, once a week, they called me... Last week, they called me, like, twice. And I was like, no, this game's done. They called me and I says, you know, not to cut you off, but I'm not interested. Take me off your list. I don't listen to the radio. I work for radio. I don't drive. So I have no need for your service.
Exactly.
Which was funny to me. So, but yeah, I mean, I don't even know. I know nobody around that actually listens to the radio, like at least locally to me.
Right.
Or internet radio for that matter. Like everybody either A, listens to, you know, their CDs or flash drives with pre-downloaded content to it, or podcasts. Like I really don't know anybody that listens to traditional radio or Sirius XM. And yeah. I think that's kind of a tell of where we're at in society now.
Yeah. Because... Yeah, Karen listens to Sirius. She has, and I've been like trying to convince her to upgrade a little bit so I can kind of check it out. And I know I could do like a 30-day free trial thing on my own, but what's the point if we're already paying for it? I might as well, you know. Like what boggles my mind is like in order for her subscription to have the app or whatever, like, to be able to stream online, we have to upgrade the subscription. And I'm like, seriously, really? That's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
That's just sad.
Yeah, everything is pretty much paid now.
Yeah.
Pay us or we hold the content hostage.
Yeah, pretty much.
But, yeah, I don't know. I kind of have this argument with people constantly about, you know, whether they listen to the radio or listen to a podcast or... because nowadays you can connect your phone to your car.
Right.
And Bluetooth it and connect to an app in your car. Or half the time the cars nowadays connect to the internet and you can do it from the car and not even need your phone. If you pay for data in your phone or in your car. And you can stream from like Stitcher or Pandora or various other, you know, Google Play, you know, all these other podcast directories. And so you really don't... I don't know of anybody, like, I even, when I was still working in that job, I would listen to podcasts because that's what was available to me and that's what I cared about more so than hearing the same 20 songs on the radio and then hearing somebody, you know, that I didn't care to hear. And I could fine tune it to content I want.
Exactly, yeah. Yeah, see, for me, it's like now that we've been doing this almost 9 years, 9 years in June for GCRN, like, I don't have, like, all my time is either whatever my wife and I are doing or trying to get at least one or two podcasts up. But even before Karen and I met, all of my time was editing podcasts, recording podcasts, getting content done for the site. Like, I haven't actually listened to a podcast outside of editing stuff in probably 5 years or more. Like, it's not that I don't want to listen to people's stuff. I just don't have the time.
Yeah, and that's kind of the same boat as me. Like, I have enough time to quality control and listen to the stuff that my employer puts out.
Right.
But I don't actually have time to listen to much else, even though there are times that I'd like to.
And I feel so bad half the time when it's like we're asking people to listen to the stuff that we're doing, yet we barely listen to anything anybody else does. Like, I was listening to the Arkham Sessions. I was listening to a bunch of other things, like I said, 2010, 2011, 2012, 2013. And since about 2014, I just don't anymore. It's not that I don't want to support those people. I would love, you know, I will. If I see Brian or Drea put up a link about the newest Arkham Sessions or whatever, it doesn't have to be that podcast. Any podcast that I've, you know, had contact with for years now, sure, I'll promote their stuff, but do I have time to listen to it? Sadly, I don't, and it sucks because it's a double-edged sword of, oh, well, you want me to listen to your stuff, but I'm not listening to your... You know, it's so weird to me.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there. I'm so... and it's probably wrong. I should be, you know, interacting more with... you know, listening to other people's podcasts. And I've been trying to actually kind of get back into some listening to them because there are times when I play video games and really I don't want to listen to the sounds of the game. I enjoy playing the game. I've heard them so many times. I'd much rather, like, I'll save my TV shows and binge watch them, like, on my other monitor and...
Right.
And play my game on my big screen and... So, I mean, it's much nicer in that capacity, but I also feel like, to some extent, we almost have to listen to new ones, because if we don't, our content gets stale because we don't get new ideas to influx into our own shows.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, I mean, I'm not saying, like, binge listen to a ton of podcasts.
Right, but a podcast here or there kind of thing. Like I just listened to... Okay, so I take this back. The first podcast episode I listened to in 5 or 6 years now was Movie Revolt Dan's new show, Comic Concierge, here on the GCRN. I have nothing to do with the show, folks. It's all Dan. So, but I listen to him and DJ talk Gotham Central because I've been wanting to cover Gotham Central on the Pullbag for, well, since the Pullbag started 5 years ago. And I just, the timing hasn't been right or whatever, and it just hasn't happened. Then I want to see what Dan was going to, how his format was and how they talked about the comic, because at some point later this year, Dan and I are going to do a Pullbag Comic Concierge crossover. So, like, I wanted to be able to listen to that so I knew what to expect from it, kind of a thing. But other than that, like, outside, just, I just don't have time anymore. And people are like, oh, but you could make the time. Yeah, I could make the time, but then at some point, my wife's going to get, not that she would, but, you know, whatever. Like, I don't have as much time as I used to. I do and I don't.
Yeah, but, I know how that goes, man.
Yeah, well, I know.
Well,
and you know, Karen is fully supportive of the endeavor and everything else, but at the same time, it's like there are 24 hours in the day, and if I spend 5 or 6 or 7 of those doing podcast stuff, whether it's prep work, whether it's, you know, prep, recording, whatever, plus whatever she and I are doing, plus, you know, eating, showering, whatever, you know, it's like there's only so much time. Like, if we had 48-hour days, maybe I could work something in there, but sadly, not really sadly, but we don't have 48-hour days.
Yeah, I think I would not want that.
No, not really.
You know what's really funny? I think the first radio interaction I had outside of winning stuff over the phone, where somebody actually contacted me and talked back with me, was Dodd.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And looking at my Twitter archives, it was I was reading it. And I was like, man, I don't even remember how like our conversation started. and then I'm reading my Twitter archive, and I'm like, oh, now I remember. I was like, I was waiting for him to get time to contact me. So some things aren't that different, but He's better at it now, but it was just humorous. I was like this lowly podcaster, like this radio guy. He said he'd talk to me, and he hasn't yet. Yeah. I was like, lies, betrayal, or as Mushu would say in Mulan, "Dishonor on you, dishonor on your cow." I think of that whenever somebody gets like offended on something, but. But yeah, it's crazy. And then looking at our journey, you know, through podcasting and because of radio.
And the crazy thing is, folks, we've talked about this so many damn times.
It never gets old.
No, it doesn't, because half the people that might be listening now weren't listening 2 or 3 or 4 years ago. And, you know,
it's funny. I set up my first Geekcast radio email back in June of 2009.
Yep, 9 years ago in a couple of months, June 1st.
And I was only recording 3 podcasts a week, and I was acting like it was a big deal. ATTF, hey. GCR, and TFG1.
Yep.
I was like, yeah, I've got 3 podcasts coming out this week. And then, like, a couple months ago, I was like, I've got 5 or 6 podcasts coming out this week. You know, I've got the awards, I've got Legends, I've got All Things Transformers, I've got Altered Geek, I've got, or no, like a double or triple shot of Altered Geek, Future Imperfect. I'm like, what else is coming out?
Yeah, you tried to pull a me. Like, you can't imitate me. You can't.
I burned out very quickly, but it's also because, but it's also because I had lack of time, and then I was kind of like, I really don't want to talk. I was like, I just want to relax and sit on arse and play video games. Like, I don't even want to record anything. Like, I was pushing it to record Altered Geek during those times, and I was like, that I can do. The other shows, I'm like, I'll record them when I figure out what I want to talk about.
Yeah, exactly. And at this point now, Legends is going to be coming under remote control for the CW stuff, so...
Yeah, so that's folded. All things Transformers, I'm going to do that as content is needed. It's not...
Yeah, and Yeah, and I still have the Origins episodes for that as well. So,
and then Future Imperfect, that's again, whenever content's relevant to it, until the show comes back, and then I'm going to review them week by week by week.
Yeah.
And then the Internet Pathfinder, it's... I did the first three or four, and then I kind of...
You did the first three. The TIP 4 is still sitting in the drafts, trust me.
Yep.
I know.
So anyways, it fizzled out.
Yeah.
More so because I was having a hard time not blending with this show. And so until I figure out what I want to do, it's going to sit on the back burner for a little bit. But I do intend on going back to that one because I enjoyed it.
Here's the thing I've learned, and I've learned this. I should have known this from the beginning. Remember how I said when we were starting out, I want every show to be separate. Everything needs to be individualized. Everything needs to have its own thing. Well, now, you know, almost 9, 10 years later, Tooncast is coming back. Tooncast Classic, Tooncast whatever is coming back. We're folding every cartoon review show that we want to do in the future into Tooncast. No more separate cartoon review shows. It's all going to be under one banner.
It'll be set up like GCR Presents, how La La Land Lounge and Mayhem Mikes and Retro.
Not necessarily, but kind of. I honestly think because, you know, I know you wanted Internet Pathfinder to be its own thing, but because you just said just now in this episode that you tend to try not to have to bleed into the area of Altered Geek, it should just be like a monthly segment on Altered Geek. Like it could be like the Internet Pathfinder. Like what you should do with AG is each like, 4 weeks in a month, 4 Wednesdays, 4 Fridays, whatever. One main topic a week, like from tech, from movies, from TV, from animation, from whatever, and you focus on that overall topic for that week, and that way you can still do all your interests under one show without having to feel like, oh crap, I can't do this show because I don't even have enough energy, I don't have this, I don't have the interest, I don't have that. Yeah.
Yeah. All things Transformers, I don't feel bad about having its own feed.
No. That's, yeah, but... well, that's obvious. No, I'm saying, like, Internet Pathfinder and all of that. Like, obviously, Future Imperfect is specifically Star Trek. ATTF is specifically but I'm saying, like, the tech stuff, the general movie stuff, the general whatever stuff you want to talk about, like, yeah, it should all be under, like, you know, not necessarily segments, but it should all be under the banner of Altered Geek, I think. I don't know.
Altered movies. Yay! No.
Altering movie ideas. Yeah.
Altered movies. Yeah. Yay. I did Altered Tech for a while. That was Internet Pathfinder, pre-Internet Pathfinder. But
yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, it's funny going back anyways and looking at these old Twitter conversations about, you know, looking at the just finished the about page on geekcastradio.com. And I'm like sitting here going, I'm
really for the new site.
It's never changed.
It's going to.
It's, well, I got an update in like 2010 or 2011, and then it's not had it's not been touched since. Like the information in that page has not been touched since.
It's going to be touched for the new site.
It's going to be touched. It just sounds wrong.
Boobies.
And I've kind of alluded to this kind of on Twitter, speaking of which, that I'm working on some things with the website, but I'm not going to tell anybody what it is, so you just have to wait. Because I don't want to be one of those moments where I'm like, some idea I had didn't come to fruition. I'm just going to say that there's going to be some significant changes to Geekcast Radio. Not only aesthetically, but how it functions. And there's actually going to be a plan.
A plan? Oh, no. You hate those.
Yes, I hate those, but I think it's warranted in this situation.
Yeah, kind of is.
So, man. Although, yes. I will tell you this. I found some people I used to follow and talk to on Twitter. Just by going back to my old tweets.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, oh, they're still alive. They're still on Twitter. I was like, man, I don't remember some of these people. And then I'm like, I remember these people. So.
Yeah, I don't use Twitter as much as I used to anymore. Like, I use it to promote the podcast and maybe to interact with, like, Toon Master Tim or a couple other people that we've hosted with before. But, like, I use Facebook more than anything else nowadays to actually do interactions. I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's like, you know, the annoying orange got a hold of Twitter and it's just ruined now.
Are you sure it's not going to be great again?
No, Twitter will never be great again. It'll be grating, but it won't be great again.
Oh, so you mean it'll be like Facebook? It'll eat your soul and sell it to everyone else.
Well, you know.
That's what Twitter does.
Yeah, very true.
But, yeah, so I think that about wraps it up. So what are you guys' some of your guys' early experiences with radio and kind of as you grew up and up till now? Like, what are some things that stand out to you guys of what you've really enjoyed in the radio podcasting realm over the past several decades of how it's changed, how you've, you know, followed it? It'd be interesting to see what you guys think about the whole transformation of this medium as it's progressed over the years.
Absolutely.
So anything else you'd like to add, sir?
There's a ton of stuff coming. That's all I can say.
That's what she said.
That's not what she said.
So until next time, get altered, get geeky with the altered geeks.
With the fraltered geeks.